Hello, folks. So I've been planning for quite some time to put together an April cast, Gemcast, talking about free and open source software in social spaces. It's a particular interest of mine regarding free software, but today I thought I might focus a little bit more narrowly on the business that we're having with Signal. So for those of you that are unaware, Signal recently announced that they were going to be embedding a cryptocurrency within their app. Now, Signal is a centralized but open source instant messaging platform that sort of takes after WhatsApp, but it is designed with privacy in mind. It's open source in terms of how they have, you know, they've released their code, but it's not designed so that you can deploy your own Signal server or anything like that. It also requires a phone number to get an account with Signal, which a lot of people have taken exception to. Now, the argument for Signal being centralized is that if they fundamentally get to design the client and the back end, the server and stuff, that it's easier to have a direct pipeline from end user to end user, which can be then thoroughly encrypted. And it allows user friendliness at the same time as security and privacy. And because the code can be audited, it should in theory be enough to gain the confidence of the mass market, while at the same time being usable to, you know, non-technical people. Now, the Signal Instant Messenger is developed by the Signal Foundation, which is, I believe it's an American non-profit. I'm just going to quickly check here. It's an American non-profit organization founded in 2018 by Moxie, Marlin Spike, and Brian Acton. And there, it says here on just their Wikipedia page, its mission is to develop open source privacy technology that protects free expression and enables secure global communication. Signal was also in the news lately because due to Facebook leaking or having had been hacked with 500 million records being exposed, that Mark Zuckerberg himself uses the Signal app, which is to a degree interesting, but not overwhelmingly surprising. Many people use the open source app. So I've never been one for the Signal app. I actually, despite it being reasonably user-friendly, you can only download it from the Google Play Store. And whilst I can theoretically find other ways to get hold of it, even though I don't sign into the Google Play Store or sign into my Google account from my phone, I think there are probably ways that I could get Signal working on my phone. But truth be told, as user-friendly as it is, and as secure as it allegedly is, I don't really know non-technical users that use it. Now, I don't, you know, like, that's just a, you know, the world in which I particularly reside. I come from a reasonably traditional culture and a reasonably traditional society, you know, place in the world, and it's still quite the norm to just ring people on the telephone and meet up with people in person, of course, pre-COVID, and that's fine, and that's worked. And it, as far as I understand, there's never been that expectation of privacy with the phone. If I wanted to have a private conversation with them, with someone, I would meet in person, at their house or, you know, somewhere else. Whereas I understand that security and privacy is obviously very important, my passion and my concern lies with having as much ownership over our communications as possible. And I think that when we look at how Signal is put together, even though it's a non-profit, the embedding of this cryptocurrency, it certainly has potential profit motives. And because cryptocurrency is such a new thing in the world of finance, and in many cases does not have proper, you know, sort of structural regulation, it can allow for things like insider trading. So this cryptocurrency that Signal are looking to embed, and I just want to point out with a disclaimer, I do not necessarily have the technical knowledge to fully understand this. I apologize in advance if I've been if I've made any direct mistakes, but I can assure you that there are better, many people better well versed on the technical side of things that are worth listening to rather than myself here. But from what I understand about the cryptocurrency itself is that the overwhelming majority of it is not actually going to be dispensed into the marketplace. Something like, I don't know, 20-something% of the currency will be distributed among the people who use Signal, who, you know, can buy parts of that cryptocurrency and to then quickly exchange cash within the app. And then much of this cash is just like being held back so that the velocity of the currency can bolster its value, so that people who you know, have held this currency back then can just make a lot of money off of it. It's market manipulation, it's insider trading, and if it wasn't done with cryptocurrency, I'm pretty sure it would be quite illegal. And of course, Moxie is one of these people who are on the who are quite closely connected with the cryptocurrency itself. Also, when it comes to cryptocurrency, and I have a somewhat complex view on cryptocurrency. It's not that complex, if I'm honest. I do think that it genuinely solves problems, that it can potentially be used as digital cash. We do not necessarily have a cash analog for the digital world. But I am, of course, deeply concerned about the environmental impacts of it. But that being said, the cryptocurrencies that we have today are not likely to be the cryptocurrencies of tomorrow. I am already aware of ways to make existing cryptocurrencies more environmentally friendly. I think Ethereum has some plans in that regard. And there are actually new cryptocurrencies being created which are carbon neutral. So even though that there is an initial problem with cryptocurrencies' environmental issues, I believe that the solutions are not too far away in making cryptocurrency more environmentally friendly. At the end of the day, the bulk of it is in terms of energy use, and of course, the mining of cryptocurrency burns through probably quite a lot of GPUs, and burning through a lot of GPUs is not going to be great for the environment either. So I would hope that in the future of cryptocurrency, that's going to be something that's considered. And from what I've seen, it seems to be progress is being made in this regard, which I think is good. That being said, it's very easy to send cryptocurrency from one person to another. Having it embedded in an app doesn't really seem to apply a necessary level of convenience. In fact, I can probably see more problems with it. At least if you've got a separate app for managing your money, there's a few extra clicks to give you a moment of thought to decide. When you start embedding currency features inside of apps, I start getting this feeling that of manipulation, right? And we've been talking about this on the April cast now, through a couple of videos. And I'm very cautious, because even though Signal is a non-profit, some profit motives are starting to reveal themselves here. And regardless, like, it's always worth looking at something for the possibility of exploitation. One of the reasons having code be open source is such a good idea is because it does give us the ability to defend ourselves against potential malicious actors here. So what I do worry about in a wider capacity, and this is not just Signal, this is many other apps as well that have tried it and, I might add, failed, is that having really quick, easy ways to just send cash without necessarily having to think through the consequences is probably not going to make people's lives better and happier. Just a moment of thought to actually switch from a messaging app to a cash transaction app might just necessarily be enough to help people and to not have impulsive ways of sending money around. I don't know if it's going to be a good user experience when really, like, what I'm saying, I suppose, fundamentally is the potential exploitative nature of it outweighs the potential benefits of it. Also, to be fair, having an app that does one thing and one thing well, a sort of pseudo Unix philosophy here, is a good thing. Because what another motive that I believe could be behind this is, if you tie a cryptocurrency, if you tie a payment method to the messaging app, it then compels people to use that app if they find either the messaging feature useful or the currency feature useful. When if you've got a private currency app, you know, a Bitcoin wallet or a PayPal app or anything like that, and a separate messaging app, you can switch one of those two out without having to switch the other. The idea of bundling too much stuff into one app does restrict user freedom at the end of the day. And that might be by design. I don't know. I'm just sort of being a little bit cynical here. So I think that it is a bad idea all round. Most people think that it's a bad idea all round, and most people are approaching this reasonably cynically, which I think is fair and justified and the right way to look at this, to be honest. And I think this is all part of why centralization is not necessarily a great thing in regards to communication, because we have kind of handed over a lot of power over to Signal. I say that Signal's not that really that widely used, but assuming that Signal, you know, would have, you know, is the WhatsApp of today, then that's the case. I think if this is as unpopular as it looks on the Fediverse, and the Fediverse is by no means representative of most people, but then again, Signal is not used by most people. So however this pans out, this could be very well the death of Signal, or Signal may backpedal on this. I don't see people being happy with this, because people fundamentally need to trust Signal. And this, you know, there have been a lot of shady cryptocurrency stuff out there. I'm not necessarily saying all cryptocurrency stuff is shady, but it's certainly picked up a bit of a reputation. And when your business, to a point, relies on trust, admittedly open source and can be audited and all that kind of thing, so it's not necessarily that trust is the be-all and end-all when you can view things yourself, but in practice business model of Signal is, yeah, people have to trust the Signal foundation in order to be responsible actors here, because if they don't, they would and should use something else. But this is what I mean by it's important to own our communications. With something like XMPP, which is genuinely distributed, it's a protocol, not a piece of software. You've got a choice of server software, you've got a choice of client software, you've got a choice of where you can host. You can host your own stuff, you can host it on DigitalOcean, you can host it on a friend's machine if they're, you know, if they can run a server. So, and then it doesn't, you know, and then other people who you communicate with can make that choice. Yes, there is encryption here. It might not necessarily be as the most effective way in regards to things like metadata, and there are other apps that can potentially be used for that. But I always think that it's we should always be cautious when looking at the internet as any kind of genuinely private space, because there is no such thing as a completely 100% secure system. Facebook leaked 500 million records, which is alarming. So even people who, you know, manage that kind of infrastructure get it wrong. Everyone makes human errors from time to time. And sometimes that's all it takes. Maybe one day you forget to check that OMEMO box that encrypts your XMPP communications, or maybe one day your hand slips and you never know. It's like there are any number of things. Yes, we should always practice encryption whenever it is feasible and possible. And yes, we should own our communications whenever it's feasible and possible. But let's be under no illusion that that humans make mistakes, and that's just the way of the world. So if you need something that is truly and meaningfully completely as secure as possible, I would go offline. That's just my inclination. Again, this is coming from someone who does not have the world of technical knowledge behind them. I like to think that I know a little bit, but when it comes to privacy and security, industry experts are definitely the people to listen to here. I'm always much more concerned about the human side of free software and open source software. And I think that what we've seen here is, I remember a speech that was made by Moxie, a very famous quote from Moxie that outlined why centralization and control of the full software stack was useful. I say full software stack. It is done through Google notifications and all of that kind of stuff. But when you've got control of the end-to-end, when the Signal Foundation has control over the server-side software and the applications, they can roll out new features new types of encryption should anything that they use get compromised, or anything else. And I guess in this particular instance, that anything else is a cryptocurrency payment scheme. And there's also, plenty of other things that the Signal Foundation could put into the Signal app that people don't want, that makes the Signal app less valuable to them and more suspect to them. So I think in that instance, owning our own communications has proven once again to be the right thing to do. It may not be as user-friendly as Signal. We may have to explain to people, well, you need an account, but you also need to choose your software. And there are XMPP setups like MoveIm, like Snicket, I think is another one that's up and coming, that do aim to make XMPP more user-friendly to non-technical people. I think this is where the true advance in grassroots technology is going to come from. Because if that fails, we still have the infrastructure. We still have our contact lists. We still own the data, even if we do not own the computers that process it. And that is important. Because then we can go somewhere else with our contact list, and then we can get back into communicating again. It's not like a fractured set of apps where you have to download and agree to dozens upon dozens of privacy policies. And I think that in a lot of cases, when I read through privacy policies of apps that I'm expected to use, that I'm allegedly, cutting myself off from society if I don't use, well, what if I don't agree with the terms and conditions? Does that make me a pariah? Does that make me a societal outcast? And I genuinely don't think it does. I think that a lot of these arguments of, well, I have to use Facebook because that's where the people are, I think are by and large bullshit, to put it bluntly. I deleted my Facebook account now probably the best part of, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years ago. And I don't miss it for a day. And the reason I deleted it was simply because it made me very vulnerable. It was a lot of my personal information that was accessible to a lot of people, and it genuinely caused me problems in regards to security in my life. It was a security hole in my life, and it was used to try and take money out of my account several times with worrying amounts of success. I don't think I ever lost any serious amounts of money, but it did get to a point where it was like, you know what, this is just a security hole for me. And the more, Facebook is dangerous in that regard. I like the idea of having, apps and services that do one thing and one thing well, because it means you can compartmentalize. It means that you can switch one out without, closing yourself away. Now, I did have to adjust a little bit to a world without Facebook, but for the most part, that just was quite easy. People are on email, people have phone numbers. I do have a WhatsApp account, but I don't use it very much, and it's, yeah, and that's really about as far as it goes. I mean, WhatsApp, I suppose, kind of to a degree stands in for what would otherwise be a Facebook account. I think the thing about Facebook that is particularly insidious is that it's a way of corporatizing and closing off public spaces. It turns the town square into a corporate town square, and I think that is deeply dangerous. It's not just Facebook that does it, but Facebook have systems that require you to sign up to their terms and conditions before you can, and you have to sign in. And I think that's particularly insidious. At least with something like YouTube, you can view YouTube without a Google account. And further to that, there are ways that you can quite easily view YouTube through a proxy like Invidious or downloading it. And whilst I don't think Google and YouTube are particularly happy that that is the case, I think that it does make them more valuable pieces of internet infrastructure as well. I think ideally, more people should be doing what I'm doing right here, right now, and that's uploading audio files directly to the internet. It's actually very low cost, is very low bandwidth. I don't know how big this file will be, maybe 20 megabytes or something like that. And to be honest, that's, well, nowadays, that's like five images, right? Like, this is probably smaller than your average like news website. It's remarkable. And you can download this and you can put it on your mobile phone or whatever, providing it's not an iPhone, and you can just play it as you go. So anyway, enough of that rambling, but fundamentally I think that the problem with Signal here has just been illustrated as to why that you are still giving a central authority, albeit a non-profit one, kind of maybe too much power. Too much power of your communications, too much ownership of your communications. And whilst it may be secure, I wouldn't, you know, and if we assume that it's secure, and we assume that it's, you know, that's all fine on that side, I at that point, I would only ever use it for secure communications, and for day-to-day chatting with friends, I would not use it. I think that it's far too dangerous. And to be honest, I don't have a Signal account. I don't, you know, I've installed the app and poked around with it in years gone by, but fundamentally, not enough people I know are on it, and I'd rather just send them a text message. At the end of the day, I don't think all of this does need to be encrypted. I'd like it to be in an ideal world, but fundamentally speaking, I'd rather communications be decentralized than always encrypted. And SMS is decentralized. If I don't like my internet service, if I don't like my phone provider that provide my SMS service, I can use another one and I can keep my same number. So it is more decentralized. It might not be ideal, but it's better. It's better than Signal it from a stance of centralization, because whilst there are only a handful of phone, there's quite a few phone companies here, there's really only two mobile networks as far as I'm aware. There's the EE and then there's the BT one. And where I live, I think BT is somewhat better, but EE is usable, and that's kind of fine. But also when it comes to things like pricing structures and other policies, other companies have some differences between them, which is pretty cool. I'm on GIFGAF at the moment. GIFGAF are fine. I only spend £6 a month and I get unlimited calls and texts anyway. And I do believe firmly in paying for what you use, because let's face it, if you're not paying for the product, you probably are the product. Or someone else is paying for it, of course. So I think this is just a lesson learned when it comes to relying too much on centralized services. I think that this does look like a little bit of a cash grab. It's certainly not good optics for Signal, and looking forward at the future of how the Signal Foundation are going to handle this, how Moxie is going to handle this, will be quite interesting. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if this is all on the up and up or not. It's a demonstration of what could potentially happen if we over-centralize our communications. And I talk about XMPP, otherwise known as Jabber, historically known as Jabber, quite a lot from time to time, because to run an XMPP server on the back end is quite, it doesn't require much in the way of resources. A Matrix server, as I understand it, does, although they are working on slimming that down. You also have more choice with what you can run on the back end when it comes to engaging with the XMPP protocol, as well as more choice in clients. I'd like to see that grow with Matrix in time. Having a second one is certainly fine if one takes off, and XMPP is not going to die off, right? XMPP is infinitely more resilient, and even the protocol itself is used by many instant messaging chat applications. It just doesn't federate. So the technology of XMPP is really good. And I hope to see Matrix develop as time goes by. I think that Matrix is not hugely like user-friendly in regards to, you know, you've got the Matrix network, but you can use Element or other apps to engage with it, and then, you know, where do you get an account from and all that kind of stuff. There still are a few pieces to get together, but I think that it is also important to understand that if we want to build the technological world that we seek, there is going to be a certain amount of like personal responsibility that everyone is going to have to take on board, and that personal responsibility is learning a little bit about how their technology works. I think that allowing other actors to just basically do all the thinking and all the work for us, and when I say for us, I mean for people who don't care about technology, I think leads us down some dangerous and exploitative paths. I think that, you know, when you learn to drive a car, you learn to drive a car. You don't get in a car and hope for the best. You learn to drive it. Same thing should go for computers. And this is just one facet of it. And I think that, you know, and I guess it's up to us to kindly teach people and to talk to people. And when I talk about this, I don't mean hard sell, right? I don't mean pushing software that other people don't really feel comfortable using on them strongly. I'm always in favor of the soft sell. That's subtle ways of introducing open source and free software into other people's lives. Oh, I'm looking for an application that I can just do a few YouTube thumbnails with. Ah, well, GIMP might be perfect for that. Yes, you could use something like Photoshop, but Photoshop is, you know, it's going to be expensive and it's going to have a whole bunch of features that you don't necessarily need if you're just doing YouTube thumbnails. So GIMP is going to be great for that. And then just introduce it, and then maybe, you know, you just sort of ease it into a conversation about, you know, how, you know, the public ownership of code and all of that kind of stuff. Just a little bit here and there. Don't overwhelm people. You know, sooner or later, people will sort of come around to the idea. You know, show, don't tell is a lot of a great opportunity. But yeah, it requires a degree of social adeptness in order to bring people into the world of free software, not even necessarily as direct participants, but as just people who support these networks by using them, the Fediverse as well. I'm going to talk more a little bit about free software in social spaces and where I'd like to see it go. In some facets, I think we've had great success, and in others, I think that there's still work to be done. But, you know, we're up against a pretty stiff competition who have a lot more money than we do, so it's not going to be an easy battle, even if we do happen to be right. So, I think that's about it from me today. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you very much for the feedback that I've been getting. If you do send an email or a message through the Fediverse, you'd be doing me a little bit of an extra favor if you told me whether or not you are happy with your message to be read out on the air, as it were, to be read out on the show or Trendy Talk, and if you would like your name to be read out too, because we can read out your message and not necessarily hand out your, you know, give out your name or anything like that. It's chrisware@postio for emails, chrisware@linuxrocks.online in the Fediverse. But if you go to my Gemini capsule, gem.chrisware.uk, or my worldwide website, chrisware.uk, you'll find my contact details. They're not that difficult to find. But thank you very much for joining me. Moral of the story, let's not over-centralize our communication tools, because that just gives power to people that, quite frankly, yeah, needn't have it. Thank you very much for joining me. Pleasure as always. And until next time, I've been Chris Ware, and you've been awesome. Toodaloo.